My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations and use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. My goodness, I think I better adjust this chair. It's like it collapsed on me again. Just a minute. There we go. About sitting on the floor here for a second. I don't know. All right, there we go. We're good now. All right, well, hey, listen, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest to the program. He is our expert on all things having to do with Israel, but we're also talking about cultural issues as well, and we've had some great conversations in trying to help us to understand how these cultural issues in Israel are really a foreshadowing of some of the things going on here in our own country. And I want to welcome Dr. David Wormser to the program. Dr. Wormser, welcome. Good to have you with me. Thanks for being here today.
Great to be here again.
Well. Yeah, I've been on a little bit of a you know, I had to take a little bit of a break. I had to just kind of refresh, power up, spend a little bit of time in prayer. I've gotten some new help, some assistance. I've got a gal named Kim that is going to be helping me with my scheduling, so I'm very grateful for that. And I thank Ken, who's the president of TECN-TV, for making that connection. And so that's going to be very helpful to me. And we've got some great guests lined up, and we'll be continuing to do that. But let's jump into what's happening. One of the things that you sent me, I guess we can start with that, because, you know, we talk about the parallelisms of what's happening over there and here. And Israel now is in the process of, I guess, its own transcultural war. What in the world?
Yeah, it's exactly there. You know, there are pockets in Israel that are so leftist and like the United States. So you've seen lesbian and gay stuff and so forth, which is fairly prominent in the areas of Tel Aviv and so forth, a lot like if you went to New York. But trans has been much, much less in Israel than here. But nevertheless, there was a woman, Abigail Scherer, who wrote a book about how dangerous these transition therapies are, including basically castration and so forth. The sort of a book we would read here, we would love it. It was to be translated into Hebrew and published in Israel. And the left in Israel, the same crowd that's out there demonstrating against the government,
right,
organized to boycott any publisher who would publish her and any TV program that would have her on, and so forth. So all of a sudden her book was canceled by the main publisher and so forth, but it doesn't matter. It's great publicity. She'll get published by somebody else eventually in Israel. She was on Channel 14 in Israel, which is a conservative, sort of their Newsmax type show program. So she'll be fine and her book will get out. But what's so interesting is trans is not that big a phenomenon in Israel, and yet the left basically went ape over this, which shows how much the left in Israel is lockstep taking their cue from the progressive left globally, which is how the United States now operates. This is a radical crowd, and they're essentially launching this is a culture war. This is fundamentally a culture war that has parallels across the board. I was pretty surprised, frankly, by this whole trans outcry in Israel, because there isn't that big a phenomenon there. There's really no, I haven't heard of very many, if any, Israeli cases of sexual transitioning by children or by even adults. Well, you know, there's obviously going to be a couple adults, but there hasn't been any physical transition or there's been transvestites, but I haven't heard of sex change operations in Israel, and I'm not sure their system is set up to do that. So to me, this wasn't even an issue in Israel, and all of a sudden, boom, huge. It just shows that they're taking their cue from the United States right now, and this is the capital of global progressivism, this administration.
Well, and I think one of the other issues that you know, let's not forget that Tel Aviv used to be the capital there in Israel, as recognized by the rest of the world. Donald Trump said, no, it should be Jerusalem. But in Tel Aviv, you know, what was one of the epicenters for the LGBTQ movement internationally. I mean, they flew the flags, they marched, they had their pride parades, it was full blown. It was San Francisco in Israel.
That's exactly what it was. And you know, I think to understand this, this is an important point you're raising here, which is there's two things really revealed. One is there were Israelis who thought, because they saw the great hostility emerging to Israel from the left. Let's be real. The rise of modern anti-Semitism is anchored mostly now on the left. Yeah, there's going to be neo-Nazis. There's going to be. But the left has become anti-Semitic. The progressive left has become anti-Semitic. They saw that. The Israelis saw that. They also saw the hostility among even Democrats in the Congress toward Israel. So they thought by essentially appeasing them on their issues and trumpeting and showing how large they are and how welcoming they are of the progressive agenda, that the progressives would like them. Because, you know, the Palestinians execute people who are homosexuals. So they thought, no, everybody will come around and see how wonderful Israel is. When in fact, what they were doing is they were antagonizing their natural base in the United States, which is people who actually look at Israel as a resurrection of a biblical nation. This is not selling. And so one, you see that collapse. The second collapse here is that this reform, this protest movement, is really also about a narrow area of Tel Aviv. We say Tel Aviv, frankly, about half the city or even more is far more conservative. But there is that North Tel Aviv world. They even call themselves sometimes the state of North Tel Aviv, as opposed to the state of Israel. And that is extremely left, it's progressive, and so forth. They're the ones out there demonstrating, saying, we are not going to serve in the military. We are not going to do this if you don't give us what we want. We own the state. We built the state. We carry the burden of running the state, so you have to give in to us. Well, a bunch of statistics came out last week. The Israeli government put out the annual statistics on casualties in the military and so forth. And it turns out that 78% of all Israeli combat casualties, casualties emanating from hostile activity, are from the periphery. They're from the rest of Israel. 12% only came from the center of the country, which is Greater Tel Aviv, which is a stunning statistic because about 60% of the population is Greater Tel Aviv and only 12% of the combat fatalities. So who is really carrying the burden of defending the state? It's the religious Jew in Beersheba. It's actually Jerusalem. The more national religious communities of Jerusalem were the ones who had the highest rates of sacrifice, followed by Beit Shemesh, which is again very religious city. So
go back to the very beginning of this. There was something you said about Palestinian, and I'm sorry, I was.
Yeah, the Palestinians, they will execute you if you're a homosexual.
Okay, well, all right. You know, so let's, yeah. So
rampant homosexuality there.
Well, and I want to. The only reason I want to key on that for just a second is there was a tweet that was sent out regarding the Uganda situation, because Uganda just passed a law that calls for a life jail sentence for what they call aggressive homosexual activity. And everybody, you know, Senator Cruz actually came out and wrote something about it. And I'm hoping that he rethinks his position on that, because Obama tried to push homosexuality on Uganda, which is a Christian nation, by the way, that said, no, we're not going to codify same-sex marriage. And the Obama administration said, well, if you don't codify it, we're not going to give you any support or any money. They didn't follow through with that threat, as I understand it. But the Ugandans stood their ground and said, then don't give us any money, because we will not bow to that. But there's an underlying issue of an AIDS epidemic in Africa and an orphan epidemic in Africa that is a direct result of the AIDS epidemic. And you have witch doctors and even physicians over there telling AIDS-carrying individuals that if they have sex with a virgin, and it doesn't matter if it's a woman or a boy, if you have sex with a virgin, that's going to heal you.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are so many different levels here which are problematic. The United States, and again, we all have to realize this, our embassies are flying the gay pride flag right now, or the LGBT pride flag, the one with the triangle.
Yep.
So our government is advocating sexual preferences across the world. I'm not sure how the government sees it as its role to do so.
Sexual perversion. Let's be very clear. This is sexual perversion and immorality. And so now you have a president that's been accused of bribery. Well, so what? I mean, when their baseline is way down off the camera here at immorality, a little bribery, what's the big deal?
Right. But, you know, the irony of it is it's also so hypocritical. For example, you saw the various companies, whether it's BMW or whatever, put out their gay pride logos. They took their logos and they worked the gay pride flag colors, et cetera, into their logos. None of them did it in the Middle East. Not one. Which shows that they don't really care about it. It's all virtue signaling. And because it's woke terrorism that has forced them to do that. So you have that. The second thing, too, is there's probably no region of the world that has more homosexuality than the Middle East. But it's selectively used. Because it's treated illegal, if you have a neighbor that you have a dispute with, you accuse them of being a homosexual, and it's the death penalty. So whether it's Iran or the Palestinian areas, it's the death penalty. But then the left doesn't seem to care because they fly the gay pride flag. They talk about all these trans and so forth rights, and then they support the Palestinian Authority and the Iranians and so forth. So again, one has to understand the deep hypocrisy here. It's essentially the use of these issues, the LGBT issues, isn't a genuine expression, misguided or immoral, but a genuine expression of hope for human rights. It is a weaponized attack on Western culture that is not consistently applied anywhere else in the world. It is an instrument to destroy the West. It is not a genuine cry for freedom, in any, even a misguided one. It is cynical and it is hypocritical. And I think we have to realize that.
Yeah. No, I agree. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We will be back to close out our segment together. When we come back, let's talk about, you know, what's going on over there. And it's interesting. I was talking with Raphael. We had lunch over the weekend up in Dallas, and he was sharing with me. He said, you know, there were 1,000 missiles that were launched while he was there, while he was in Israel. And he said the Israelites were completely nonpulsed by it. It didn't bother them because, you know, of the percentage that were caught by the Iron Dome, but also a large percentage of them actually fall on the Palestinians themselves because they're so poorly aimed. It was just interesting, but I want to talk a little bit about, you know, those threats and so on. So quick break, and we'll be right back right after this. Let me get everything situated here. Here we go.
So up next, we have Clan Slate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And Clean Slate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your Clean Slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your Clean Slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And my very special guest is Dr. David Wormser, Center for Security Policy, expert on Israel. I want to, in our final segment here, I want to get back into the Israel piece. And that was some very good, we were talking in the break about, the Obama administration, and you made the statement that, the Obama administration was essentially the revenge of the 60s, if you will, against the quote unquote establishment. Man, there's just so many different places we can go with that. We'll do that next time that you're on. We'll get into some of those conversations because we always have fun when we do that. But I want to get into the Israel piece because I think it's important for people to understand that in spite of what we talked about going into the break about, the Iron Dome and so on. And I want you to give some of those figures and where those things fall. In spite of all of that, the reality is there is still a very real threat. And this Iranian nuclear deal adds to that.
Yeah, look, what you've got is if you add up all the recent wars that Israel's had with Hamas from Gaza, you're talking maybe 20, 25,000 missiles sent into Israel and less than 10 fatalities. The Israeli system works very well. They allow missiles that are going to hit dirt or water to go there. They know where the missiles are going to hit. The air raid sirens are very local. They're within a half mile radius at most. They don't have whole cities unless a whole city is facing missile attacks. Mm-hmm. So they're very good at it. But when you get to Hezbollah, Hamas can now send 200 to 300 missiles pretty close to one another. And that gets, the Israeli system can still handle that. There's financial issues. These Israeli missiles that go up and shoot down missiles are horribly expensive.
60,000, I understand, per missile. Yeah.
And the Hamas missiles coming down are very cheap. So
$37.99, I don't know, like a blue light special. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, at Target. Yeah. It's right, right next to the kids section. But when you get the Hezbollah, they may be able to launch 1,000 to 2,000 missiles at once, and that may overwhelm Israel's system, forcing the Israelis to go in on the ground. They have the luxury of just sitting there and shooting down missiles and not going in on the ground in Gaza, which is an ugly urban warfare situation, right, where a lot of Palestinians and Israelis get killed. Lebanon, they won't have that luxury because they won't be able to stop all the missiles. And the American deal with Iran releases billions and billions of dollars to the Iranian regime to build and buy many more missiles to give to Hezbollah and, frankly, to give to Russia to launch now, onto Ukraine.
Now, there is something else, too, that I understand, and that is that there are two other defense systems that are in place, that are there, but that are not currently actively needing to be used because of the fact that the dome is doing such an effective job, but that Israel does have a stage, I don't know, if the dome is stage three, they have a stage two and they have a stage one. They have two additional defense operational systems.
It's a question of range. Think of it in layers.
Okay.
So the Iron Dome was really only designed to stop missiles with range up to about 30 to 50 kilometers, miles, let's say, okay. 50 miles. Okay. Tel Aviv is 60, 70 miles. It was a miracle that the Iron Dome was so good that it managed to cover Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. But in the recent conflict, Israel tried a brand new system that is supposed to pick up at like 40, 50 miles and carry it out to 200 miles.
Okay.
And that was called the David Sling.
Okay.
Missile. And it was used in Jerusalem to shoot down a missile. And there was that famous picture where you see two missiles heading right at each other head to head. That was actually the David Sling missile.
Got it.
So that is now operational and it's deployed. So you have Iron Dome covering up to 50 miles. You have David Sling up to 200 miles. And then the Arrow covers missiles to thousands of miles. That's a much intermediate range missile defense. So when Iran launches a missile that is 3,000 miles away from Israel, the Iron Dome is designed to stop it. And that's actually the system that I believe the Europeans are interested in buying, because that really would defend against Russian missiles coming into Europe.
So the Iron Dome would defend against the Iranian missiles, not the Arrow.
Well, it depends. The Iron Dome defends against anything coming in within a range of 30 to 50 miles.
Okay.
David Sling defends everything that comes in within a range of about 30 to 50 miles to 200 miles.
Okay.
The Arrow defends everything coming in from a range of over 200 miles. The Iranians are over 200 miles away. They're okay. About
So it would be the Arrow, not the Iron Dome. Arrow
was actually deployed first.
Okay.
So it's an older system, but they have now modern versions of it.
You know, got it.
Now,
okay.
I think you're already Arrow 3. So that's, you can account on that working pretty well too.
Awesome. Okay. All right. Well, again, lots for us to be watching over there in Israel. Lots taking place, and we'll do our very best to keep you posted on what's happening and what's going on. And thank you, David, for being with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Pastor. Always an honor.
All right, we're going to take a break. Armstrong Williams joins me on the other side. What about the First Amendment and our freedom of speech? We'll talk about that coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow.
Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And welcome back to the second segment of hour number two. And it's my privilege and my honor to have on the program with us. He is the host of the Armstrong Williams Show, a nationally broadcast program on Sinclair Group Broadcast, as well as the he's part of the Howard Sturk Holdings affiliates. And we'll maybe get a little bit of background on that from him as we also talk about what's going on and how our speech, how the First Amendment, and especially free speech, are under assault and under attack. And I'm very pleased to welcome to the program with me today, Armstrong Williams. Armstrong, welcome, sir. It's good to have you with me.
It's my pleasure. It's a pleasure meeting you and being on for the first time.
Well, it's my sincere pleasure to have you on for the first time as well. So tell me, if you don't mind, give me a little bit of a background about the Howard Sturk Holdings. What is that in particular?
Howard Sturk Holdings. Howard is my mother's main name and my father's middle name. We own network stations across the United States, NBC in Las Vegas, NBC in Flint, Michigan, WWMB in Myrtle Beach, and on and on and on and on. And I am not only the managing partner, I own 100% of my stations. So I'm a broadcaster. I'm in the broadcast business.
Outstanding. I used to be on in Flint and Saginaw years ago.
Yes.
I was on WRCL on Sunday mornings. I did a show called The Dose of the Ghost.
You're kidding me. Well, I own WEYI NBC 25 in Flint, Michigan.
Okay. Yeah, it was Holy Hip Hop with a Message.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
That was your show?
That was my show, called A Dose of the Ghost.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I got syndicated through Zio Radio Networks out of Colorado.
Wow. Okay. That should have been interesting.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was, you know, and I'll tell you, I got a lot of calls. You know, this was in the 2002 to 2007. But in that time period, Flint and Saginaw were going through some terrible, terrible economic times. And I got a lot of phone calls from people there. You know, I was very conscientious about the production quality and what I was putting on. And it was difficult back in those days, to be honest, to find Christian hip hop that had the right production quality. But we had people that would tune in. And the reason station managers loved the program was is there was no drop off. And so instead of spending an hour on a public service program that talked about Joe's Mechanics and fixing cars and whatever, they plugged my program in. And so we got cleared through most of the major houses because of that. But when people would be listening to the music, then all of a sudden they'd hear the gospel. And then I'd drop a 2 to 3 minute message on each side of the half hour, and they would be like, whoa. And I would have people call. I had, oh, man, I can't tell you, Armstrong, how many people called that said, you know, I was going to call it quits this morning. This was it. I was going to take my life today, and I was listening to Club 93, and then you came on. And here I am calling you.
Well, let's get busy.
We're in a place today, man, where and to the free speech issue. So in 2007, as I know you're aware, the FCC changed the regulations, and PSAs could no longer contain religious messaging because they said Christianity and religious messaging is not good for the community. Not healthy.
Isn't that just really insane? It really is. If you think about, it just really is. You can talk about all kind of evil. You can talk about the worst common denominator of society. You even empower criminals and sex traffickers today, but there's no place to talk about real values and virtues and moral striving. I mean, listen, you know, it's interesting because when you think about the evolving communication technologies, and as communication technologies continue to advance, I think the future of the First Amendment will undoubtedly sort of be shaped by the digital landscape, which is what we're seeing now. And, you know, issues surrounding the free speech on social media platforms, these online censorship and the spread of misinformation will require careful consideration and balancing of these individual liberties with the society interest. And so, and then you have to think about this increasing amount of all this personal data and everybody capturing your personal data. Your personal data is being collected and analyzed by all these various entities. The future, I think, of the First Amendment will likely involve discussions on protecting individuals, even their online privacy, and ensuring that these individuals can freely express themselves without fear of surveillance and our undue interference would be a crucial aspect of safeguarding free speech in the digital age. And when you think about what you talked about in terms of Christianity, the great thing about free will is that freedom only comes from God, not from man. And God gives us the free will to choose him or reject him. And as much as I cringe at some of the things that I hear and I read what is allowed and what was not allowed, I am one of these people that never want to compromise and infringe upon freedom of speech. I think that is very important. I think that is fundamentally who we are. And I mean, it causes me a lot of anxiety even to say that, to even come to that perspective, because I believe you have to show your support for the rights and guarantees of the First Amendment.
It's interesting, you know, I've been on a number of different networks and stations over the course of the years. And in talking to some friends that own, you know, I have a friend that owns 11 independent stations here in Texas. And we were talking about, you know, the FCC and some of the things that they are threatening to clamp down on, as it were, relative to content. And as a broadcaster who owns a number of stations across the country, how much of a threat do you see relative to entities like the FCC to, for example, conservative shows like this one?
Well, there's a clear bias. There's a clear double standard. There's a clear agenda. And I think people overwhelmingly agree that all views should be allowed, viewers should be allowed to express opinions that are popular and opinions that are unpopular. But I think what we've found consistent over the last several decades, that conservatives and people of faith are censored overwhelmingly and are shut down and protested by this woke culture more often than anybody else. When you talk about support for free speech, when you start talking about for conservatives and people of faith, the opinions drastically drop. While a majority of Americans say it's important to protect people's ability to say what they want to versus protecting people from hearing things that might offend them, you cannot ignore how the government in its own devious and manipulative way support and allow the free speech from Christians and conservatives to be prohibited, and also almost to the point of censoring views on social media. I mean, if you talk about the COVID-19 or the pandemic and the vaccine, mm-hmm. and you talk about what Naomi Wolf just discovered in terms of the long-term COVID that no one wants to talk about, you find that these technology giants even now wants to shut you down, limit the number of people that you have access, limit the number of people that they tell that you're going live to. And, yeah. and it's just obvious what's happening. It's happened to me firsthand. They have all kinds of ways of curtailing what they want in terms of what they believe is their truth. And so and even with the pandemic, I mean, I was shut down. I was censored. And then you come back 2 or 3 years later and everything that we advocated, everything that we promoted was absolutely true.
Absolutely.
Absolutely correct.
Yep. Well, and what's worse is they still won't let you back on the platform. I was deplatformed on Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Vimeo. And it was mostly around my interviews that I did with my friend, Dr. Judy Mikovits.
I had her on.
Yeah.
Several times.
Yeah.
The same outcome.
Boom. You're gone. You are gone. As a matter of fact, I was just talking to a friend of mine. He just got his first strike, and I was saying, man, you better have backups. Because what they did to me was is they struck me once on YouTube. They struck me once. Within 72 hours, they struck me two more times on old programming and cut me off. But here was the thing, Armstrong. You know how I found it out? I was a YouTube TV subscriber, and I went to go sign into my YouTube TV, and I couldn't get on. And I couldn't figure out.
On your old platform?
Yeah, well, I went to sign on, like, to watch a program on YouTube TV because I was a subscriber. And I tried to sign on. I couldn't sign on. I couldn't figure out why.
That is amazing, my man.
Oh, man. They had.
But I know it's true. I know it's true. I know it's true.
They wiped my channel out and they cut off my subscription. To this day, my Gmail account is flagged. If I try to log in or go on to YouTube or do something on YouTube, they come up and they say, your Gmail account has been blocked.
Yeah, we've seen. And then you get that little ping, ping.
Yeah.
That little warning. Ping, ping.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know. But you know what? I believe this. I don't believe there's such thing as free speech and the First Amendment unless you own the media.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, that's what I believe.
That's a scary thought, isn't it? I mean,
Think about it. It is. You know, listen, they talk about all this stuff about protecting journalistic integrity.
Right.
Freedom of the press is an integral part of the First Amendment, and assuring the integrity and independence of journalism will be crucial in the future's discussions on protecting journalists from harassment, defending this press freedoms in the face of government encroachment, and supporting equality and journalism with this sort of, this will be significant in upholding the principles of the First Amendment. But you know, it doesn't, when they speak of this, it doesn't normally apply to broadcast owners and journalists like us.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Okay. So, you know, you've got these.
Neurologists are stunned.
Hang on. You've got these videos that are out there. I'm sure you've seen them where you have, you know, the picture, right, of all the different journalists, and they're all saying the same exact thing. You know,
the robotic. Yes, yeah. Robotic. No, yeah. Question.
The screen is filled, and there's like, you know, I mean, you could probably put 60 of them up there, and they're literally all saying the same thing. You've written a book relative to the crisis in the classroom, and talk to me a little bit about that, because I would assume that has a lot to do with the whole indoctrination that's going on in our classrooms. Am I on track with that? I haven't read the book yet, but am I on track with that? Or tell me about what your focus is.
You're absolutely on track as it relates to crisis in the classroom. And you ask yourself, why in 2023, in places like Baltimore, 20 through three school systems, not one kid is proficient in math, English, and reading? How is it that administrators can create these ghost students where they're getting paid on these kids who are supposedly in the classroom, and when you find this kid, track them down on the street, they'll tell you they have not been in school in 11 months, and the government gets paid? How is it that you can have a system where if you fail a grade once, you can never fail that kid again? You got to continue to pass them through, regardless of whether they're learning or not. How can you allow the teachers union to create one curriculum? Because they don't really care about the education of their kids. They care about the system. They don't take into consideration that every child is an individual, and you've got to make education and the education experience, you got to make it exciting for them. You've got to make them enthusiastic about learning. And not only just in the Baltimore school system, you ask yourself, why is the American school system failing so much? Why is there a shortage of teachers? Why are the classrooms overcrowded? Why do you have violence in the classroom where kids spit, kick, and attack children, teachers at will, make it seem as though they're inside of a prison system? Why does the government? Because it gives the government more authority, more control, because the more uneducated people are, the more the government has to use these great society programs, these entitlement programs, to take care of them. It gives the government more control and more authority. So Dr. Ben Carson, former pediatric neurosurgeon and presidential candidate,
right.
Ben Carson is an internationally known civil rights attorney. And myself as a broadcaster, we got together and said, forget about the politics. Let's write a book about the crisis in the classroom that give an understanding to people that we got to forget about our labels, and we've got to save our country, because everything starts within education. The reason why these kids go out and find themselves in the sexual trafficking, petty crimes, homicides, incarcerated, because they don't have real self-esteem. They don't have real self-worth. They never really got the basic skills in school. The school system failed them. And so what do? The only thing they knew is stealing, looting, going into these stores. They don't understand the consequences. You don't teach them about morality. You don't teach them about right and wrong. And then you have fathers who are not in the household to teach the young men what it means to be men. I teach young girls what it means to find in a man and a future husband. All these things. And then you don't have transparency. The schools lie to you. They tell you what they want you to hear until you sue the school system. And then you go in and do these forensics and you realize that everything we thought was the case is the case. And so there's so many layers to this, but the bottom line is that we must put aside our labels and come together to make sure that our kids are educated, because the educated kids, that sustains the future of America.
Well, and then it would seem to me that it has to do too. You mentioned a couple of key things there. One of those being the moral scale.
Yes.
You know, right now everything is emotionally subjective. So it's really predicated on how that child feels. And that's how we've ended up with all of this identity crisis that we've had and this sexual perversion that they're thrusting on our kids as well as telling children that, you know, the color of your skin determines the attitude of an individual towards another individual rather than the recognition that all lives matter. I was at the police station in Plano just over this past weekend, and there was a woman who was in there whose son was out in the driveway, 11th grader getting ready to go into his senior year, great kid, and two guys jumped out of a car and shot him three times. Thank God he survived, but she was there to pick up an incident report. They rolled up into their neighborhood. She said, "We live in a great neighborhood. We got great neighbors. I mean, we don't even know where these kids showed up from or why they showed up or what the deal, but they jumped out of their car, shot my son, and then jumped back in their car and took off." And, you know, I got a chance to pray with her, but one of the things she said was, she said, "You know, we've got to stop this idea that we're separated, and the idea that life doesn't matter." And I think that's part of the issue too. These kids just don't understand the value of life.
You know, and they feel they're going to die young. They feel they have nothing to contribute to society. And you're right. They use race as a wedge issue to make someone believe that their self-worth comes from the color of their skin. Their self-worth comes from their parents. You know, the best department of health, education, and welfare I had grown up as a child was my mother and father. And my father and mother made sure that even before I ever entered kindergarten, we could read. Because you and I know that the literacy gap in education starts before they ever enter kindergarten. I would read to my parents. My parents would read to me. We would go to the library. Reading books was a very important part of our upbringing when we were kids. Mm-hmm. And parents reinforced the kids in the classroom. Often, parents have no idea what's going on in the kids. They're not involved with their extracurricular activities. They're not involved in their education. And so what happens is a teacher must be more than a teacher. It must be a counselor, must be the disciplinarian. And even now, in these schools, you can't discipline these kids. There's so much disruption, and you're right. And now they're talking about this transgenderism and this CRT, and then they want to turn our little boys into fairies. They want to feminize society and indoctrinate them with he, she pronouns. I mean, it's hard enough for these kids to learn the basics in school. And then what we do, we compound it with these other issues that are meaningless to what an education is, a quality education.
So I guess the question is, where do we begin to unravel this then? Let's go into that for just a minute. We've got about 6 minutes left, but where do we unravel this? A lot of people say, well, you've got to change the school board members. You've got to get actively involved in those areas. Where do we unravel this situation in your estimation?
First, you've got to believe that every child has the capacity to learn. The other thing is, we got to make sure what's in the textbooks that are in the classroom. And you don't want revisionist history. You want to celebrate all our contributions to what makes America what she is today. Mm-hmm. We must treat teachers as if they have the greatest and the most important influence on our kids by giving them the tools, the smaller classroom, the technology, and also giving them the salary that's deserving of what is expected of them in the classroom. We've got to restore teachers to one of the highest professions, one of the highest places of professionalism in this country. We need to return to resource officers in the schools. We need to make sure that these teachers and these administrators and these students are safe and that there are no disruption. We got to return discipline to the classroom, that if these kids are not willing to learn, then you have a process in place to get rid of these bad apples. And one of the things that is so missing in the classroom are men. You find men teaching sports and that, but we need men in the classroom. It is shown that when men are in the classroom, the behavior issues are dramatically reduced. And we must also get back to a moral education, teaching these kids about right and wrong. And then you got to have these mentorships. These young men, it's not enough now today, because a lot of these kids grow up in single-parent households. You need men in their lives to reinforce discipline, sacrifice, work ethic, kindness, giving back, respect, honor, discipline. Those things are forgotten. These are just not mere words that we speak. Right. We've got to get kids back to the basics, and we got to make them truly understand what the word respect is and make them understand why it is so important to get an education. It gives you the opportunities. It gives you the chances. And it's the best passport that gives you the best opportunity that you have that possibility or probability to realize in the American dream.
You know, when you talk about the moral issue, too, I think we've got to bring in the idea of what a family should look like. You talked about single parents and the fact that there are so many. And I think a lot of that is, quite frankly, it's going to fall back on men. Irresponsible men who don't take responsibility for their children. Now, I agree, though, on the other hand, we have pushed into feminism in society, and the government has come in and forced men out of the familial equation. I'll just very quickly tell you, years ago, my wife and I were going through some really difficult financial struggles, and our church suggested that for a period of time, we would reach out to get some assistance. When my wife called to get that, we had two small children at the time. She was told, divorce your husband, and we will provide you with housing and food and cash aid, but you've got to divorce your husband.
You know, how insane is that? And what does it tell you about anyone that would enforce that kind of policy? They want to contribute to the breakdown of the family. And there's always a catch-22 when you take the government's largesse. You know, they used to do this during the 70s, go to a person's home, look in the bed, look in the bathroom to see if there was any kind of trace of a man in the household. And if there was any kind of trace, they would take away your benefits. So they forced the mother to choose between a father in the household or her receiving those short-lived benefits. And then look at the impact it has on our children today. Even when you think about family court is one of the most dangerous places for men today. It does not favor men being involved in the lives of their children. It does not favor men making their marriages work. What it does is disenfranchise men and make them the scapegoat, make them the blame, and keep them out of their children's lives.
Yep, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. These are major issues, Armstrong, and you know, at the end of the day, the bottom line to me is the church has to rise up, and we have to recognize that the only one that's going to fix this, the only way we're going to fix this, is we've got to get back to God. We have got to get back to God and get back to that foundation. Final minute, sir, I'll give you the final thought.
You know, the thing that we need to be reminded of is that we have got to get back to tithing. And tithing is not just giving money to the church. If there's a child that needs tutoring, give your time. If there's a senior citizen that is alone, give them your time. If there's a homeless person you run into, give them a smile. Give them a conversation. Uplift them. If you have old clothing, old shoes, and things that you're not using anymore, take them to a place where it's really necessary. While you take that for granted, for some people that is a luxury. We give so God gives to us. We feed the homeless so God can feed us. We help the hungry so we can never go hungry. Mm-hmm. Because the greatest gift that God has given us is what we have is on loan. And how you use that to multiply the well-being of others is how God richly blesses you and give you prosperity, because everything we have is on loan. We got to get back to tithing. We got to get back to charity, because we always look to what the government is not doing and what it should be doing. But we need to look to ourselves and ask ourselves, how much more can I give to make someone's life better every day?
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Armstrong Williams, armstrongwilliams.com. It's right there on the screen, armstrongwilliams.com. And be sure and pick up the book that he has written about this issue of crime. We greatly appreciate you, sir. Thanks for being with me today. Thank you
for the invite. It was my pleasure.
We'll be back with more Children Generation Radio coming up. Nan Su joins me. How has the CCP infiltrated our culture. We'll be back to talk about that with Nan Su coming up right after this, hour number three, straight ahead. I'm your host, Pastor Greg.